Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, you have just confessed before we hit record that you don't like doing it like this. You do not like recording.
No.
You don't like recording the podcast when we're both in different cities.
I don't. I really don't. We tried it. This is only our second time doing it, and I don't love it.
Actually,
I miss you. I miss you in the room. I miss the bells.
Actually, you said, I hate this.
I did. I did say, okay. I hate this.
Yes.
It just doesn't feel as easy and fun for me.
Okay.
But we're doing it. We're doing it.
Yes. There's a couple things I want to say about this. We both believe in stretching ourselves and trying something different. We say stuff like that all the time.
So here really we
really
do.
Here we are doing it. First thing. The second thing is, I think this speaks to a really important principle that we were taught also during the time of COVID. Like,
yes.
We talked about COVID the last episode, but
right.
But we learned the value of being in the same room with people.
Absolutely.
And FaceTime's great, Zoom is great, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Riverside, this podcast app that we're able to see each other's faces while we're doing this, which is really nice. But it is not the same.
It's not the same. It's truly not the same.
And
you know what? I was talking to, we had some friends over, some mutual friends. Our friends Destry and Kat were here. And we were just talking about our live events. And, you know, we've had two live events in the last year. Our third one's coming up at the end of April. And we were just talking about how much people love spaces like Instagram and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. But we all still crave in-person, human, face-to-face connection. And I think that's why we've had so much fun at our live events. We have our next one coming up the last weekend of April. We opened up a few more tickets. And so it's going to be really fun. But here's what I'll say is, that you can never replace hugging someone's neck and squeezing them and looking them in the eyeballs and being face to face. You can never, ever, ever replace that.
And being in the same room. There is value and there's an energy and there's a real precious gift when we get to be in the same room together.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
And okay. I hope that this week I don't just disappear for like 25 or 30 seconds because I just kind of ghosted you and you just, you know, I just want to give you the Emmy. Our first awards goes to you for carrying it solo for like 25 or 30 seconds. Talking
25
about
25 or 30 seconds. I just kept right on going.
Freddie, Mike, and Elsie on the beach.
Okay, listen, what is your good day?
Okay, here's my good day. The most precious things are happening in my house. And here's what I'll say about this. My daughter was a COVID baby. She is turning 4. She is truthfully growing up right before my eyes.
Yes.
And the other day, Mallory said she came home from work, dropped everybody off. And she said, hey, before dinner, I'd like to run out to Ulta. I want to get some things. And she said to Remy, do you want to go with mommy to look at makeup? And I wish I could have a video of her face when mm-hmm. Mallory said, let's go look at makeup together. And they hopped in the car and Mallory was telling me on the way to Ulta, she was like, mom, we should have girls' days. And mom, let's go get ice cream now. And mom, and then the two ladies in our family came home and Remy had this little, you know how when you buy makeup, you get free gifts with
yes,
it?
Yes.
Mallory, whatever she bought, came with this little like zipper pouch that had some just samples in it of random stuff. And Remy went through every little thing and showed me and was so proud and loved all her little makeup samples. And she is just at this age where she just wants to be my wife. She wants to emulate her mom and she knows how to use, you know, those beauty blender sponges that are like cone shaped.
Yes.
She showed me how to use that.
Oh,
like she will stand in the bathroom with Mallory in the mornings and just do stuff. like Mallory's doing, and she'll
so
do
cute.
Have the same mannerisms, and it's just that fun age where I'm like, this little girl is mm-hmm. growing to be a little woman, and she's looking at her mom, and I couldn't be more proud.
Aww,
and just more excited so to see her. And so it was just a precious moment just to see her eyes light up and run an errand with her mom and
want to
be like
that.
Her mom. And I love that.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. My good day.
I feel like yours might be silly. You have a little silliness.
Well, my good day is literally, it's a good day, but also
you tired?
Oh, it was torture. It was torture, but it was good. Listen, it's a lesson. So Dee is here with me. My husband Daryl is with me in Hilton Head.
Mm-hmm.
We have a cute little space in Hilton Head.
You know, she doesn't leave him home alone in Worcester all by herself.
And we call it the Sea Loft. It's like this elevated, it's kind of like a tree house, but it looks like a space saucer.
Well, and my kids call it the Ewok Village where you live. Like
yes,
in Star Wars,
yes,
like the
yes,
little
yes,
Ewok
yes,
huts
yes,
in the trees.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So we brought Amish Country, Ohio's Amish Country Wall Mops. And today we did the walls, the ceilings,
wow.
We pulled things out, we washed behind everything, we washed everything on the shelves. I am dog tired.
Well, listen.
Oh, Lord, I'm tired.
Daryl is hard to keep up with.
Listen, I have said he is the hardest working person I know, the hardest working man I've ever met. But when you're experiencing it, like when you're working alongside him, about 3 o'clock, I was like, I'm losing steam. He's like, nope, we're going to get this done. And we just saved the kitchen for tomorrow. He's like, nope. And we got it all done.
Miller.
And it was, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you are listening and you are not yet married, and you, maybe you're dating, maybe you're single and haven't just found that right person yet. Whenever you do, make sure you find someone who's going to be your partner.
Absolutely.
Like your partner with things. And here's what I mean by that. Today, we worked side by side. We talked. We laughed. Daryl did all the ladder work. You know, I'm not getting up on a ladder. I cannot be trusted on a ladder. And we just were partners. We were helping each other. We were in it together. Just,
yeah.
You know, there is such a gift and such a wonderful treasure in having someone who is your partner, who works
totally.
Alongside you. Yeah,
totally. I totally agree with that.
I'm going to sleep like a babe. I'm going to sleep
know.
Like a baby.
Well, I will be sure not to text you at 6 o'clock in the morning
tomorrow. I will kill you if you do that.
Listen, but you know what you said to me before this all started is, you know, you think when you own, you know, I'm sure there's more people out there that own different properties.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those owning properties and flipping houses and all the stuff that you and Daryl have recently got into in the last couple of years. It's a very trendy thing right now.
Yes.
I don't know if it's always been and I just didn't pay attention or if it's, you know, the Airbnb thing kind of took off. And
right.
That.
Right. Right.
But you told me today, you're like, you know, you think it's all glamour and glitz mm-hmm. and you have mm-hmm. properties and you just rent to people.
And
well,
you,
listen, I stood side by side with you when one of your basements was filling up with poo-poo water and you had to get people out there to dig. And when you found dead birds in the house, it's not all glitz and glamour, my friends.
No. And you know, I said I texted our boys today and I said to Daryl too, that, you know, we have wonderful people that help us. I mean, we've mm-hmm, had wonderful
totally.
People that help us in Ohio. We have wonderful people that help us here, but no one is going to look after your place and care for your place
like you would.
You are.
Absolutely.
You're the one with all the risk. So when we spent time doing this today and now we're at the end of the evening, it feels really good. It feels like pride and ownership, you know, not right. pride in an arrogant way, but really being a good steward, you know, totally. Just being a good steward of what you have been allotted in your life. And I feel like today was a good reminder for me that
that's awesome. You know,
when I come here, I love the beach. I love sitting in the sand and I love to relax, but because we've been here an extended period, it has allowed for now, like, okay, we've got to do some things. And, mm-hmm. and today was just really, really, really a good day. It's a good day.
Are you going to get to rest before you come home?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, yes. Good.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Hey, well, we've been thinking about this, and, you know, we've talked about this before, is I love when we have our act together and we plan mm-hmm. ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And, you know, you have a very vibrant and talkative Instagram community.
I do.
And I love that. They, you have a segment on Monday. Typically, it's Monday mornings called Pillow Talk.
Right.
Pillow talking with Leanne. Our voices aren't going to be synced up.
And listen.
There's a little bit of a delay that we've noticed.
At the very end, it says, have you heard about what Leanne said on Pillow Talking?
So we were thinking about this the other day. You know, we have all in our lives been given advice. And, you know, there's common things that people say. There's common phrases that come out of our mouths. Listen, some of the things that we're going to share, I'm sure you and I have said some of them in our past lives. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, what is it in us that wants to give advice? What's that all about? And what is some of the worst advice that we've received? And I actually, maybe 2 years ago, if you scroll back on my Instagram, I actually did a series on my Instagram called Let's Bust Some Bad Advice. Mm-hmm. Because I think there is a lot of maybe catchphrases or little things that are said over the years that, like, you know, we kind of take them for granted. Yes. I don't know if grant is the right word, but we kind of think they're true.
Right.
And when we really break it down, it's like, is that actually good advice? But before we jump into that, you know, I did a little digging and I actually didn't do a ton because I think this was pretty much what I expected. Is if you poll Americans, no one really wants advice. Shocker.
Oh.
No one really wants the unsolicited advice. You know, I didn't do a whole lot of digging because this is exactly what I expected, is no one really enjoys when someone just gives them advice. You know, the article I was reading was talking specifically about unsolicited parenting advice mm-hmm. that just can be super hurtful. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about some of the advice because we asked your Pillow Talk community mm-hmm. or your Instagram community, what is bad advice that you've been given or what is advice that you don't think is great? And we want to talk about some of those. And then I have some tips for us to move past and move forward from it.
Okay.
So lay some of them on me, Leanne.
Okay. So during an episode of Pillow Talk, I dropped a question box that said, share some bad advice you have heard or you have been given.
Yeah.
And I do want to point out there are 8 things that were repeated over and over and over and over again. Now, and this is a couple hundred people who have shared. The first one, and this is so popular, especially in Christian culture, God will never give you more than you can handle.
Oof. I have grown up hearing that one.
Is that even scriptural?
No, it's not even in the Bible. It's not even in the Bible.
I mean, there are verses like he will never leave you or forsake you. Cast all your cares
Absolutely.
Upon him. Cast all your cares upon him because he will care for you. There's all kinds of verses like that, but I don't ever remember there being a verse that basically says, I will not give you more than you can handle. And when we think about the actual people in the Bible, Job being one of them, the whole book of Job, he's giving him things that he cannot handle himself. I mean, I think that is ridiculous if we think about it, because actually, why would we even sometimes in our life, why would we even need God if we didn't get things coming into our life that we couldn't handle that we needed him for?
Well, and I think where that comes from, you know, the Bible does talk about, you know, if we believe that this possibly comes from scripture, the Bible does tell us that there is no trial or temptation that will come up against us that we cannot get out of. So a temptation like that, we always have the wherewithal or the support from the Lord to get out of sinning and making a bad choice. But as far as something coming in our life that we can't handle, that does not show up in scripture anywhere that I've ever read. Listen, here's the thing. If we believe that God could not give us more than we could handle, you're right. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need doctors. We wouldn't need medicines.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need therapists, because the reality is we could figure it all out ourselves and we would be God. We would be God. If we truly believed, God would never. I think that the intent there is that it's meant to encourage you to say, keep going.
Yes.
Keep going strong. Yes. You got this.
Yes.
But the actual words, when you break it down, I think there's a problem. I think I have a problem with it.
Me too.
I think I do.
I'm going to read through them and then I'm going to let you just pick out which ones stand out to you or that you want to camp out on, because we won't be able to talk about all eight. We don't have enough time unless we do a part two. Blood is thicker than water.
Tell me about this one, though. I think we do need to stop on this one.
well, let me read through them and then we'll come back to that.
Blood
is thicker than water. That's one. The other one, just get over it. Suck it up. Follow your heart.
That's a big one.
Time heals all wounds.
Well, girl, we coming back to that one.
Everything happens for a reason. Fake it till you make it. Oh, that one makes me want to be like a valley girl and say, gag me with a spoon.
I might have a spicy take on that one.
Okay. Never go to bed angry. Now listen, never go to bed angry over and over and over and over again. That was dropped in the box.
That's so interesting. Okay, I'm going to go back to the top. Okay. Blood is thicker than water. What did you find out about this? Because I feel like you mentioned you had a different take on it.
Well, blood is thicker than water is not the original quote. We have always told ourselves that blood is thicker than water means that your blood relation, your blood people are more important, take precedent over and more priority over than water. Water friends. Symbolizing friends or chosen
people that
family.
Aren't. Yeah, chosen people family. That aren't your blood relatives.
Blood is thicker than water is a shortened version of the original saying, which is, blood of the covenant is thicker than water of the womb. Now, before this, I had never heard that in my life.
Me either.
Okay. Over time, the words covenant and womb have been dropped, which gave rise to an alternative meaning. Meaning that it actually, let me continue. Let's look at the original meaning. A covenant refers to an agreement, which was typically made with a blood sacrifice. The water of the womb refers to the amniotic sac fluid. Together, the original phrase means that the bonds you have chosen are more significant than those formed by family or blood relations. So the original saying actually means that the bonds that you choose are actually stronger.
That's right.
Than your familial bonds.
It's the opposite of how we use it.
The actual
what in the world?
Original, the OG term. Google it, look it up. It's all
that
over the place.
That is amazing.
And I've never heard water in the womb. Like I when people were telling me in my DMs, like, check out the original phrase. Check out the origin of that saying. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yes, it actually does not mean what we think it means. So
that is fascinating. Oh, I learned something new from you.
And honestly, I have learned that firsthand in my life. I have learned that in my life. Now there are definitely generation, like especially older people, that literally blood is thicker than water is a term that means like your blood relation takes priority over everyone and everything. Now, if you have a very healthy family and a very functioning family that believes that because everything is so connected and so healthy and like we are like through thick and thin, great. But that is not everybody's story.
No. Okay, here's another one. Follow your heart. Ooh, that's a biggie.
Your heart can trick you up.
Listen, if we're gonna use the Bible, you know what the Bible says about our heart?
That it's desperately wicked.
Yes. Who can know it? We don't even know our own hearts. That our hearts are wicked. Here's what I know. I know if I always followed my heart, number one, I'd be in a heap of trouble. Because
if I followed my heart today,
I would fight people. I would be like, oh, every like rise of passion and indignation and justice that you want in everything. I mean, I would be like Thor with Thor's hammer knocking heads if I followed my heart. Thank the Lord for a little bit of like balance and wisdom and cool down time, because I think follow your heart could get me in trouble.
Oh, it would get me in trouble every single day if I only followed my heart. If I followed my heart today, I'd be in bed right now.
If I followed my heart today, well, I probably, Mallory would be my sugar mama and I would not work. No, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing. But here's what I think. I think follow your heart. The good intentions of follow your heart is, I think what we really mean to say is trust your judgment.
Yes.
So make calculated risks, make calculated decisions. I think when we say, because I always, around these things, I want to think about what's going on and why do we say them and what would cause someone to say, follow your heart. You know, I think sometimes, you know, if we're making decisions based off of what other people think, or we're making decisions based off of, you know, passion.
Like when I think of when I met Daryl, I followed my heart.
Right.
For sure. And people thought that I was insane because we got married within 28 days.
Right.
We followed our heart. And in that scenario, in that situation, it was the right thing for us.
Right.
It's not always the right thing to follow your heart.
Right.
So follow your heart actually can be 100% accurate. If you are in line and in tune with what's healthy and good and right, follow your heart can be a great thing. But follow your heart all the time can get you in a big heap of trouble.
I agree. Let's not follow our heart. Let's not. Okay, here's the next one I want to talk about too. Time heals all wounds. Man, this one's a hard one for me because I think people truly and intensely and genuinely believe that time heals all wounds, but I don't. I don't think I subscribe to that, because here's what I think. I think what happens is if we have an experience, let's take grief or a conflict with someone. Mm-hmm. I've seen this illustration, and it's hard to say it, you know, since we're not drawing pictures on a podcast. But it's almost like you have a glass, like a balloon, like envision pushing a penny down in a balloon. Okay? So you have a penny and a balloon. And as time goes on and more time passes, let's say the balloon is inflating and inflating and inflating and inflating. The wound doesn't go away. You know, the penny that's in the balloon, that doesn't change.
Right.
But what does change is your life experience around the hurt and around the wound.
Yeah, right.
And so for me, in my experience, because, you know, I don't know if I've shared a lot of my hurt that I carry on here. We talked a little bit about church, and obviously I've shared that my dad passed away when I was young. None of time hasn't necessarily made those better. So when I think about those things, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm fine. That's okay. I'm fine that that happened. But what has happened is as time goes on, that balloon or my mm-hmm, life mm-hmm, continues mm-hmm, to grow and mm-hmm. expand. And I feel like I learn more about myself. I learn more about how my brain is working. Mm-hmm. I have more experiences. God brings people across my path that heal little parts of that. You know, my life, when my life grows around those things. So it's not that the time has healed the wounds, because the wounds still exist, mm-hmm. but it's that the wound pales in comparison to all the good things that are happening around my life.
Right, right.
And so I don't, for me, you know, if I were to see there's specific people that I'm thinking of that are part of those ugly stories or those hurtful stories, when I see those people, or if I were to see those people or come in contact with them, the wound is still there. Right. It's still going to be hurtful when I see them. But my life has changed so much since those experiences that I've probably grabbed some coping skills along the way. I probably grabbed some experiences. You know, my wife and my kids have brought a level of joy in my life that I'd never experienced before. And so all of those things make, I think that's what that means. But I don't think just taking time out from something makes everything better.
No. I think time softens and creates a distance between the infraction, between the wound. So the wound's still there. I think you just remember it. I don't want to say you remember it less and less, but I feel like it gets further away from you. So you can look at it differently, but time doesn't heal anything. It just puts space between the hurt, the wound, and you. Like, you get further away from it. For me, if I talk too long, if I get into a long conversation about my hurts with my family, that wound, you can really almost open that wound back up for me, because mm-hmm. I'm still very sad. I'm still very hurt by some of the things that happened. Oh, I have forgiveness. I exercise forgiveness for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. But time did not heal that. It just, it's just space. It just made more space. And I think you can remember it like a little, there's a dullness in remembering it, or there's a distance with remembering it, where it almost feels like that did happen. Mm-hmm. And that still mm-hmm. does hurt when I think about it, but it's not as glaring and in my face as it was when it was happening. Right. I mean, 15 years has passed, but it's still, I mean, a wound is a wound. Like when we talk about a wound is a wound. It's like, it's not like a dry erase board. Like a scar is a scar. You have a scar. You know, I think the healing, what you do with the healing is what really matters. Mm-hmm. Like what you do with that distance as time passes, as every day passes, as every hour passes, as every year passes, how you navigate that wound, that makes all the difference.
100%. Because here's the reality. All that time and space between the infraction and where you are now, you have either used that time to get better and to work on yourself, or you have used that time to get bitter or to get angry or to get resentful. And I think the time doesn't do the healing. You have to do the healing, because if you don't do the healing, it's going to come and find you, and it's going to rear its ugly head if you don't actually take the time to do the healing.
Yep, 100%.
So, and you know what else I thought that didn't make your list, that's a common one that's kind of along the same vein? Forgive and forget. Just forgive and forget.
Listen, I was talking about this topic. I was talking about this topic with D, that we were going to do this this podcast episode. And you know what he said? Well, I know one. And I said, what? He said, forgive and forget.
Yeah.
He said, you can, this is what he said. And it's you know, Daryl's one-liner wisdom. He yep, said,
the finisher.
You can forgive, but you don't forget. In fact, I added this. That's what he said. You can forgive, but you don't necessarily forget.
Right.
I added this. Sometimes it's wisdom not to forget.
Absolutely.
Because then you don't allow it to happen again and again and mm-hmm. again. Sometimes there's wisdom in remembering so that you don't enter into a situation that would cause that same thing to happen.
Right, right. And I think the wisdom comes in not forgetting. I think the wisdom mm-hmm. comes in like, oh, I'm not going down that path again.
Correct.
We just don't open up the floodgates all of a sudden.
Yep,
and I correct. Think the intent, I think there is good intent there, because I think when we say forgive and forget, what we actually mean is forgive and don't let that infraction hold you hostage.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's
yes.
what I think we really mean. Now, I do think some people mean forgive and forget, just let bygones be bygones. Let it back in your life. Well, that's not happening up to her. But here's what I will tell you is I can forgive something and I cannot hold anyone hostage. I can forgive them, but that doesn't mean that they get at all access to me that they had before.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that they have availability to my heart or my time or whatever it is, whatever boundary they crossed that made me need to forgive them, they don't have access to that. And so there might be, depending on my relationship with that person too, there might be a time where we slowly test the waters and see how things go. But that doesn't mean that you just have all free reign and access yeah. to everything.
Yep. 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 That's good. Okay. What about fake it till you make it?
Okay. Fake it till you make it. Here's my spicy take on fake it till you make it. Here's what I think. I know why we don't like fake it till you make it, because the word fake isn't a great word Mm-mm. in general, but here's what I'll say about that is I think sometimes your will to do something has to come before you actually being great at it.
Yes.
So let's say I'm going to give you a for example. I'm so proud of my wife because the last few years she's really taken her health seriously and she's really taken exercise seriously. She wakes up every weekday at 5:30, comes in the basement, lifts weights, does this whole thing. Here's what I'll say about her though, and she would say this, so I'm not saying anything she wouldn't, is she is not a natural athlete. She's not like, oh my gosh, I just want to like get up and lift weights. You know, I've watched her, she just bought a new, I think 25 pound weights because she's been getting better and better. And so I think sometimes we have to tell ourselves first what mm-hmm. our intentions are. Mm-hmm. We have to kind of, and you know, we've talked about this before. You and I are not in the manifestation movement of like,
no,
get a crystal. But I do think setting intentions and trying to go for it does have, there's some meat there. I think for us, it's literally our podcast origin story is we bought the equipment. You said, I'm coming. And we literally recorded without really knowing what we were doing. And here we are almost a year and a half later, and we have a growing community. We've done great things. So mm-hmm. I understand the negative spin on it, but I also think sometimes our intention has to be set before we really go in a certain direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying is different than fake it till you make it, because I think what you're saying is you have to move. You have to believe in yourself. You have to be passionate about what you're getting ready to do, even if you're not where you want to go. Totally okay. agree with that. But fake it till you make it, I think there is an underlying story that's there that says you're actually pretending You're faking it. You're pretending to be something or in somewhere. And I will use in social media as a huge example of this.
Oh, I was going to ask you for an example. So thank you.
Yes. Social media. There are so many coaches on social media that are telling you, like, live this way, do this. And this about the algorithm and this about your Instagram and this about your Facebook. And they themselves, if you would drill down deep, are literally faking it until they make it. I don't know how much actual reality and realness and depth is behind all that. Like, you can't just get on a screen and tell me, you know, this is how you're going to have a successful business. You need to buy my e-training or whatever it is, my course, and sit through six classes, and then you're going to be successful.
Right.
Because a lot of, to me, when I really look at a lot of that kind of coaching, I'm suspicious. I'm like, I think they're fake it till they make it. And I sat in a business mastermind and listened to this speaker once, and I literally logged off because I was like, I cannot hear this kind of messaging. It was a guest speaker of this mastermind, and she was saying, even if you're not worth it, even if you know that booking you to speak is not worth, and she used the amount of $12,000, you book for that amount because you like booking for that amount literally is telling the client, but also telling yourself that you are there. Like, and to me, that's not real. Like, if you feel like to yourself, like, hey, $12,000 is way too much for me to charge in my market, in my community, I'm not there yet. Chances are, you know yourself pretty well. You're probably not there yet.
Yeah.
Now, if you cut it in half and $6,000 to speak, that's an incredible, and you've never charged that before. Like, I just wasn't buying it. I was like, I don't buy this. And I actually sat there wondering, like, is she for real? Like, does she actually do this? And if she does do it, that's dangerous water, in my opinion. Those are dangerous.
I totally understand that.
Those are dangerous waters to wade in. If you really aren't worth $12,000 and you're not worth booking for $12,000 and you book yourself for that, you could find that turning around and biting you right in the behind.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. All right, here's our last one. Don't go to bed angry. Here's what I'll say to that. Ooh. Sometimes you're just tired. And you know what? You know what? Sometimes when you're tired and it's 1 a.m. and you want to have a fight and you want to say something ugly, maybe a better choice could be is to turn. I'm assuming this is with a partner, turning over to your spouse or your partner and saying, you know, I am frustrated and I do think we have a lot to talk about, but we're not going to have a productive conversation right now. Right. So let's sleep on it, collect our thoughts and revisit it. I think the intent there too, with good intent, is don't just let things go hanging. And I don't support that either. You know, I don't support like just not addressing the elephant in the room.
Right.
So I think it's good to say, hey, we're both tired.
Right.
It's late, or I don't really have the capacity to dive into this. Let's just put a pin in it and come back to it when we're ready. So I'm not a big don't go to bed angry kind of person. Sometimes it's just better to say nothing.
I definitely think that the origin of don't go to bed angry has come from don't let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we've heard that.
I did forget about that verse.
We've heard that growing up all our life. And I think what you said is key. And this is what people were saying in my DMs and in the question box, is that sometimes you just need a good night's sleep. And to your point, readdress it in the morning, readdress it when you have had a night's sleep. Don't just bury it or pretend like it's not there and get up the next morning and act like nothing has happened.
Right.
But I think the principle of not going to bed angry means exactly what you said, like looking at each other saying, yes, we're upset, we're mad, we're frustrated about this situation, but we both need sleep and we will readdress this tomorrow or when we've both got some good shut eye.
Listen, in the early years of the Barris household, we took that one real literally, and we were like, you slammed the, it just felt like you slammed the cabinet door, and I feel like you're mad. I mean, but this is both of us. And we literally would talk about stuff like that for hours. And we, I mean, honestly, I don't know if it's just time, but we just kind of, you just got to live with a person sometimes.
Yeah,
and say, what's important, true. What's not important to bring up. It just takes a little time to get that. Okay. Here's what I said, what I'll say is I think we need to make it a practice to stop giving unsolicited advice. Mm. And here's why. This is where some of my research comes in. Here's why we need to stop. I have five reasons why. Is the first reason is it assumes the other person doesn't have the knowledge or the ability to figure it out.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Good. My toddler is going to be a toddler in public sometimes. And I don't need you walking up and telling me that my toddler's being a toddler. I know. I already know. But you know what? Thank you and move on. Here's the next one is sometimes giving advice can be a form of seeking control over someone else. You know, I'm not to bring this one up to like family stuff, but sometimes parents, if they're too involved in our marriages or our parenting, or sometimes even siblings that we're too close to, sometimes the family, it can be a form of seeking control over your sibling or your kids.
Ooh, here's the next one. That's good.
Truthfully, stop giving advice because you truly have a limited point of view of what's happening with the other person. You don't know everything that's going on. It's like, you know, not everybody knows what's going on with me and my kids, with me and my wife. Not everybody knows what's going on. And so you don't have the full picture when you're giving advice. Next, you don't have to deal with the repercussions. Listen, giving advice is easy. I always say, in my next life, I'm going to be a consultant because consultants just go in and they just tell everybody what they want to say and they go home. But if you are a constant advice giver, here's the reality. You don't have to deal with any of the repercussions or the results. And here's the last one. A reason we should stop giving advice is the receiver, it can lead to them resenting you. We don't want people to resent us for giving them too much advice when it's unwanted. So here's what I'll say. Instead of giving advice, let's listen. Let's get better at asking questions. Let's show empathy. And here's what I'll say is ask for permission. Ask for permission to speak into somebody's life. I don't know where I heard this from, but there's somebody that I know. I want to give credit where credit is due, but I know there's someone in my life that says to their partner that says, do you just want me to listen or do you want me to give you some advice? And I think that is such a wise thing because we've all been in situations where we truly just want someone to listen to us and we want someone to understand us and say, that's really hard. And that's a lot. That's a lot going on. And I'm sorry you have to go through this. And then there's times where we really do want someone's advice. And so I think if we're unsure as to if we should give advice, I think it's a great habit or a practice to say, hey, do you want me to speak into this or do I have permission to speak into this? Mm-hmm. And then be okay if they say no. You know, be okay if somebody said, no, I really just wanted you to be a listening ear in this situation.
So good.
Yeah, I think we can all get better at being more supportive and listening and asking questions.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, that's good. That's good advice to send us off. Now, before we leave, we have to do something. We have to talk about food. We have to talk about food.
Can you hear my snaps?
I can hear them. I don't know if we'll be able to hear them once it uploads, but I can hear them. Okay.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about a few things that I brought here with me to Hilton Head that I have been utilizing from Walnut Creek Cheese and Foods. First of all, they're bulk items. I know we've talked about this in the past, but they have a whole big bulk section that is amazing. Yeah. So I brought sugar. I bought flour. I'm going to bake a cake in the next day or two because I'm having some friends over and I want to have cake and frothy coffee. And
nice.
They also have, Matt, an incredible display of coffee, which
they surely do.
By the way, I mean, we won't say too much, but hopefully we're going to be seeing our faces on a label sitting on their shelves soon. So
that's right.
The next time that you go to the actual retail store of Walnut Creek Foods, which is called Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, their coffee display and the actual, the choices, the variety of coffee they have, local roasters, is really great.
Mm-hmm. But ours is going to be really good. I'm obsessed with our blend, by the way. You know, when we go on vacation, I will say one thing we like to travel with is apple butter barbecue sauce.
I thought you were going to say apple bottom jeans boots with
no, her. No, that could be its own episode. But we, our family with the kids, when we all get together, with my sister and her family, we often find ourselves at a lake house or at a beach. And when we travel south, I don't know why, we often take apple butter barbecue sauce.
It's so good.
Because often we'll get pork chops or even like burgers. It's like a sweet, tangy barbecue sauce. I love it. So and you good. Know what? It's almost getting to grilling season. I'm ready to bust it out. It's time to grill.
Me too. Well, we would love
That's awesome.
Thank Walnut Creek Cheese and Walnut Creek Foods for being our official sponsor. We love them.
We do love them. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about giving and getting advice. And I hope maybe we busted some bad advice for you. Maybe some things that you're like, you know, I am going to think about that differently. So, hey, thanks for joining us. You know, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that
these are good days.
That's not going to be in sync.